Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, interestingly enough, we hear about these outbreaks and we hear about these food recalls. And I think the most recent one that we just heard about, you know, just within the last couple of days of this listeria breakout, you know, in frozen foods, I can't tell you the amount of people that contacted me saying, well, how could this possibly be? I thought that heat and freezing would kill bacteria. And, you know, Mark, you and I were just talking with Natasha, recently about what's going on with this. And it's kind of an interesting topic because listeria, boy, they're in a league of their own.
Exactly. Listeria has popped up because it's able to grow in the refrigerator at very low temperatures, even just down close to freezing. So it's an unusual organism. It lives in soils and water and in animals. So we have to think of it as ubiquitous. It's even in our own refrigerators and we don't know it. And what the scenarios are, again, coming back to what we talked about before, where we start changing the food supply with so many ready-to-eat foods. So when they started producing sliced deli meats, soft cheeses, and they treated them so well that they lasted a long time, if they were contaminated with this organism called listeria, over 2 to 3 weeks, that organism could grow in a refrigerator to levels that can kill people. And so that concept, plus, like you said, Jeff, about when we talk about freezing, I use freezing in my laboratory as a way of preserving bacteria. So we can never think of that as what we'd call a kill step in our food preparation.
Natasha, do you feel that organic is... And now, a lot of people do think this way, but I know what I want to hear what you have to say about this, that organic is a healthy guarantee?
Well, organic is a healthy guarantee because it's devoid of chemical pesticides. But as we've talked in earlier shows, it can have 7 kinds of natural pesticides. And also, it can be exposed to many more bacteria colonies because of the compost that's used to grow organic food. So in my humble opinion, I think people consuming organic or raw have to be much more careful. They have to really soak and wash those vegetables in a vinegar solution. They have to rinse it profusely. And I know everybody thinks about the water shortage, but let me tell you, what's lurking on those vegetables and fruits is not something you want to be ingesting in your body. And this is where, you know, we have to caution people because of this consumption of raw organic food and not understanding the bacterial load that's there. And in my, unscientific observation, in talking to people, people think that they have the flu or an upset stomach, where I think that they probably have many more episodes of mild food poisoning, and they don't even know it. And this can have profound effect on their immune system. So this kind of ignorance is not bliss. And that's why when you do take a probiotic supplement, you need to make sure that the strain of bacteria is capable of making its own natural bacteriocins, which are natural antibacterial components, and produce hydrogen peroxide so we can effectively compete against these bacteria that are introduced into our system on a daily basis, especially if we don't pay attention and are ignorant of proper food and safety handling.
Well, I know there's a lot of naiveness out there, and, you know, these are not things that are talked about as frequently, and I think a lot of people out there have the illusion that once you're eating better and you're eating organic, and we have that full guarantee that, you know, guarantees us against all things bad, and I agree with what you said. You know, we do have to be careful. We have to wash our produce, and we have to be aware of the food we're eating, and, you know, Mark, many people are trying to get healthy. They're trying to do the right thing, but it's kind of like reading a book and leaving out a whole bunch of chapters in there because we don't either have the information or we haven't, you know, reached out to get the information. And education is the true way that we're going to beat this.
Exactly. I remember back 30 years ago when I was a young postdoc and visiting a laboratory in Japan, that the professor, the head of that laboratory in Osaka, Japan, told me just as I was leaving his laboratory to head back to the U.S., he said, Mark, he said, the future is gut microbiology, intestinal microbiology. And I wish I would have listened to him 30 years ago as well as he had wanted me to, because that's what we see today, is that we're learning so much. Like, I'm sure Natasha's a world expert around this, so I know I don't know as much as she does. But, you know, I know that the clinical studies that I've read and that we show to our students in our classes show us that the gut flora is incredibly important, and we need to keep it as stable as possible. And by taking probiotics, we do our health, we do our immune system, the development of the brain. So many things are beneficial. But in my particular area, I'm interested in how probiotics are able to keep the pathogens from setting up home in our intestines and causing a very serious illness.
You know, Natasha, you talk about raw food consumption, and there are a lot of people out there that are raw foodists, and a lot of vegans, and a lot of people that are out there eating. Obviously, there are safety measures that they could put in that would, you know, allow them and afford them a safer way of eating.
Absolutely. I think you have to invest in find a proper vegetable washing. I think you have to understand the consumption of probiotics. I'm glad to see that probiotics are becoming so global, but without standards, the probiotics you are buying may be totally worthless. So it's the same thing as understanding how to, you know, clean your vegetables and fruits and handle your meat is important to your health, as well as consuming the proper probiotics that are handled under refrigeration that guarantee specific microbes at a certain level that would be the good competitors. In other words, it's all about competition. And since bacteria rule the world, we can't stop the bacteria from taking advantage of every innocent stupidity that we may be involved in. So I think that we have to step back, and especially in the health food industry, understand the need to wash and take care of our fruits and vegetables, and if we consume meat, to make sure it's properly handled or washed, or even fish. And that knowledge, that lack of that knowledge is not bliss. It's actually quite dangerous. And I'll tell you, even medical doctors have to be reminded, especially if you go into a hospital, it's a complete, you know, I think, breakdown of understanding sanitation in our society, because what you'll see in the hospital is the dispensers for alcohol. Now, the problem is that alcohol will help with MRSA, but it will not help with C. diff. And I'm just giving you an example of ignorance. So if the doctor is going from room to room and not washing his hands according to the CDC recommendation, which is you've got to lather up for at least 20 seconds, rinse, and then wash again, between patients, he's not getting rid of the C. diff, which he can take from one patient to the other. And, you know, I've gone to visit people in the hospital where I've had to stop, you know, medical professionals and tell them, you can't come into this room until you wash your hands. And so that kind of ignorance is, you know, pervasive, not only in our professional community. So even if the doctors are not engaging in this, you know, we as individuals have to completely have a paradigm shift and understand what it is we need to do with our food supply on a daily basis, and how we need to protect the microbiota, a shift in the microbiome. Because, you know, 40 years ago, I told people that every problem connected with the body will be traced back to the GI tract, and we find this more so than ever. Our brain health, our gut health, our organ health, including the liver, the kidneys, the bladder, our, you know, heart health, everything connected to that control of bacteria and what it does in our body on a daily basis.
Mark, do you think there's hope for us out there if we start listening and start, you know, putting some of these procedures into place?
I do. I mean, I'm very optimistic, and because our bodies are so resilient, you know, we have it always gives us a second chance, at least in most cases. And, you know, if we can follow the real basic principles, I mean, temperature can be our friend and it can be our enemy when it comes to food safety. So simple principles about don't keep a food between 40 and 140 degrees for more than 4 hours. If you're in doubt, throw the food out. Look out for cross-contamination. Be sure you're, like we said before, using separate cutting boards and cooking things to the proper temperature. And when it comes to those foods that seem to last a long time in the refrigerator, Don't let them stay in there a long time. You know, toss them out. So if we use those very basic principles, and at the same time we do a lot more research in the area of probiotics, the gut biome, and that we understand what all of these bacteria are doing for us, you know, I think that is the hope for the future. And I think that's one of the big areas in microbiology is understanding that crosstalk between the bacteria and the human body, because we know, I think the figure is, we have 100 times more cells of bacteria in our bodies than we do human cells. So we're actually more bacteria than we are human.
You know, we're at the time of the year now, warm weather, hot outside functions, picnics, and people are having food outside on tables. And, you know, you really do have to just be a little bit better with that food. So many people get sick in the summer.
Exactly. This is when we see the incident of foodborne illness peak. Mm-hmm. It's because more people are eating foods that are held at the wrong temperatures, mm-hmm. and we see things like salmonella and E. coli, the cookouts, the hamburgers, the cross-contamination, and those types of scenarios are all elevated during the warmer months.
You know, so simple procedures. I was at a picnic a couple of years ago, and you know, I was brought up at a time when, you know, we didn't think about this. Things were on tables, and, you know, just the way it was, and you'd come back during the day, and you would just eat throughout the day. And I was at this picnic, and they actually, after everybody ate, they boxed everything up, put it all on ice, put everything away. Everybody went and played softball. They came back. They brought everything back out. They recooked all the food again. And I thought to myself, at that point, it ran through my mind. I said, boy, what a lot of extra work. And then at the same time, I thought to myself, that's the way it's supposed to be done.
Exactly, exactly. And because we have so many more convenient foods in the food supply, we're seeing all these new scenarios pop up that we never expected. So, yeah, we've lost that real connection with food. And food is one of those things that we trust. It's amazing the amount of trust we have with the food. We'll go out to a restaurant and sit down, and they'll bring a plate of food, and we'll put the fork and put it in our mouth. There's not a lot of things we do in our life that we have that much trust that someone behind the wall in the kitchen did everything right for us. So we've got this very, you know, very unique relationship with food, a tremendous amount of trust. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that I think the food industry needs to do a better job, particularly in those ready-to-eat foods, the salad greens. And we have to be careful, as Natasha said before, about the contamination that occurs from, say, a poultry or a dairy or a cattle farm, that contamination that can, through the irrigation water and the air, that can contaminate our fruits and vegetables that we might not cook. And I'm asked all the time, if I bring something into my house like lettuce, what can I do? And I know from my own research and that of others is that when we wash something, we remove a percentage, but it's not like cooking where we remove 100% of the bad things. So washing helps, but it's not what we call a kill step in the food, what we call in food safety systems, where we can actually kill everything, like when we cook our meats and cook other types of vegetables. And so, you know, that level of trust that we have that the government is regulating and inspecting and that industry is doing the right thing is becoming increasingly, increasingly important. And I'm afraid that we're going to see a lot more large outbreaks, particularly with leafy greens, before people start taking action.
Well, you know, Natasha, you talk about the cooking of food and the proper, you know, preparation and, you know, and the cleansing and all that kind of stuff, which is important. But, you know, like Mark just said, we can only go so far with, like, the lettuces and things like that. So we have to go the next step. We have to have trust, but we also have to have a digestive system that's in place and functioning and proper probiotics in our digestive tract, because without those, we're putting a lot of trust out there that ends up sometimes being misguided without a support system.
I agree with you, and that's why I have recommended for 45 years that, you know, probiotic consumption on a measured basis, on a daily basis, is so important that you know what probiotic bacteria you're ingesting, because they could be either worthless or they can really do some good. And why is this necessary? Because the so-called, what I call, functional foods, like kefir, like yogurt, like kimchi, does not have enough bacteria, good bacteria present, to confront some of the bad bacteria that we're ingesting through our food supply. We have shifted the paradigm in the consumption of our food, and that's why our, you know, response has to change. Otherwise, we're going to experience illness. And I just want to, you know, tell everybody that it's not just us that gets hurt, but now there's ample evidence to show that autistic children are a result of, you know, two parents having GI issues, their grandparents having GI issues, and that gets passed on from generation to generation. And then we're having, you know, manifest in this, you know, learning disabilities, autism, and it's very difficult to reverse once you let that Pandora out of the box. So it's really, you know, our responsibility to stop this, because the figures just from last year to this year in autism is that last year, 1 in 50 children were, you know, diagnosed with autism. Whereas today, the latest figures from the CDC say 1 in 42. And if you go back in history, in the 1970s, this is 1 in 10,000. So obviously, we've done something terribly wrong to, you know, manifest such a problem in our children. And then we have to be responsible for our health, especially if we're going to have children, because it's going to impact their health tremendously.
You know, Mark, we're hearing all this information today, and it's a little disheartening. It's a little scary, you know, when you think about it, because one thing we probably do more on autopilot than anything else is eat. And many people don't think anything through. You know, we buy our food, we eat it, we sit down at a table, like you said, we trust that the utensils are clean, that the dishes are clean, that the food is prepared well, the food is hot. And I think that we have to remember that sometimes we need to make sure that we are aware. And I think that's one of the hardest things is the awareness, because this is something we just kind of do without having to think about it. Eat.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there's other situations in our life when, you know, we'll see something and we'll question whether or not it's a safe thing, a safe environment for us to get into. You know, that kind of intuitiveness that we have, that street smartness. We need to be more street smart about our foods. I mean, so if more consumers understand where these red flags are, I think they'll be able to have greater control of their food. And that's what we've done, is we've lost our control over our foods over the last particular 100 years, as food processing has become so much more complex, as well as food supply chains. And so if you walk into a restaurant, you know, and you, I mean, we sometimes see a dirty fork, and we'll mention it to someone. But when you see that service person bringing your silverware and you see that their fingers are touching what you're going to put in your mouth, tell yourself 60% of the foodborne illnesses come from that.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Well, you know, hopefully we brought a lot of information today. It's some awareness information, some things that we have to remember about. We have to think a little bit more about the proper procedures, how we handle our food. And I think at the same time, I think we need to make sure that we are doing everything we possibly can to stay a little bit ahead of the game. You know, watch your procedures on how you get your food. Make sure you're shopping at a quality place. And, you know, like Mark mentioned, you know, during the show, you know, make sure that if you've got food that lasts a long time, don't leave it in your refrigerator that long. We talked about outside events this summer. Make sure you are preparing your food and storing your food correctly. If you have things that, you know, need to be refrigerated, make sure they are refrigerated, because, you know, a whole bunch of people can get sick really quickly, you know, at an outdoor event if things are not, you know, provided in a refrigerated manner if they need to be, and in a heated manner if they need to be as well. And, you know, at home, one of the best things you can do is get yourself two cutting boards, a regular cutting board and then a green cutting board for your greens. I think that will make a dramatic difference. So I hope you'll take the time to do that, because it's really important. A little bit of extra step can make a dramatic difference. And don't forget, don't start your day without a healthy probiotic, a healthy good strain probiotic, and make sure that your gut health is as strong and as capable as it possibly can be, because that's where the deciding factor is going to be on what affects you and what doesn't affect you. It comes down to gut health, the quality of your gut health, and the quality of your digestive system. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. This is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thanks for listening, and stay well.